right, live mesh world again with Ori. How are you doing?
Morning, fantastic.
So I heard you've made some interesting things lately with your platform. Talk to me.
We've been working hard. One is, the platform is really coming together very nicely. Where it's maturing, you can actually start to build real applications on it. And with that, many of us who are very passionate about things that are mesh related, I work on a few exciting stuff. One of the ones we'll talk about today is what we lovingly call the Mesh Mobile. Give you a little bit of background on it in general. Let me give you background on the Mesh Mobiles in general. This is the fourth carputer that I've worked on. The first one, we actually started building with CE30 way back in the day. Didn't go terribly well, lots of issues. Connectivity was hard, getting data to it was hard, UX was hard. The second carputer I did was on Linux. That didn't work out terribly well.
Why not?
A lot of issues, like the hardware components weren't quite automotive grade, but also from a software perspective, it was still difficult to solve a lot of the hard problems to having essentially a computer in your car that was participating in your digital life, which is kind of the idea.
Absolutely.
The third one was an off-the-shelf one. I won't even talk about that, huge mistake. Mm-hmm. And the fourth one is actually now built on top of Live Mesh.
Wow.
Which made it significantly easier to put together and really enable a lot more scenarios. It's the first one I can actually be proud of that really works. Mm. And so the idea is, if you think about the background behind Live Mesh and our goal of really modeling your digital life, we talk about the four pillars of the digital life, right? Your data, your devices, your applications, and people, the relationships, the social element of software now. And nothing says to me like the day where all my digital devices are participating in this world, right? They're talking to each other, they're synchronizing data, they move stuff peer-to-peer, they bring all the data I need locally to that device,
so I can build really
more compelling user experiences around that data. I can share that data with people. I spend a ton of time in my car. I love driving. I'm kind of a motoring kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Lots of devices at home, and I want a lot of that data, a lot of that experience that I have with software in the car with me in a very convenient sort of form. If you think about software in a vehicle, it's very different than a software experience on a desktop, on a mobile even. It has to be extremely snappy. You have no tolerance for anything that takes, a second or two. You can't write software that makes network calls in the car like it'll never work. It has to be, the interface has to be quite distant in the sense that you shouldn't really be looking at it.
Yeah.
Everything should be essentially done on your behalf without you having to, no keyboard, no mouse, no touching 20 buttons to get something done. If you look a lot about software that even comes in commercial vehicles mm-hmm. today, still not quite what you're looking for. It's a good step in the right direction. And so the Mesh Mobile, the idea was let's bring sort of the goodness of the mesh into the automotive environment and see what kind of scenarios we can enable. Mm-hmm. Step one was really to get the platform in there. And so it took me about a month or so of design. It's kind of complicated to build hardware in a car, temperature sensitivities, voltage regulation, space constraints. My car is very small, and so there's not a lot of space to work with. Sunlight readability, et cetera, et cetera. So it took about a month to put together the hardware specs and the layout. And you also wanted to make it feel very natural, and so we had to fabricate quite a bit of hardware to make it look like it came out of the factory. My car is 12 years old, and so they didn't design for extensibility in mind. And so from a hardware platform perspective, we're pretty much there. It's got a Core 2 Duo. It's fanless. You don't want moving parts in the vehicle. It's a little less temperature sensitive. It's got voltage regulation to deal with power spikes in the car. Mm-hmm. We have a 7-inch touchscreen display that we had custom made with a transflexive capability, as we call it, which allows you to have better sunlight readability. If you're driving, sun hits the screen, you can't see anything. It's an LCD. Nice touch panel. We have an array microphone, so you could do voice recognition, GPS, Wi-Fi, 3G, Bluetooth.
Wow.
Controller knob like BMW iDrive style, but one that's actually nice to use. Mm-hmm. we have a 500 gig drive in there, which we'll replace with solid state, which is much better. Two of my computers had big challenges at high speeds. The drives would start skipping. So you're listening to music, and all of a sudden, the thing is skipping every song, and it's just a terrible experience. Mm. So we have a much better shock absorbent design, compact. It's actually a beautiful piece of hardware. We fabricated it into the shell of the car, essentially, so it looks natural. From a software perspective, which is really where the exciting part comes in, mm-hmm. So what are the things you really want in the car? One, all the experiences you want, almost think of them as you don't want to see them. They just need to happen without you being there. So automation is huge. The less I touch, the less I have to do. It kind of has to figure out what I want to be doing. And so using the Live Mesh platform, essentially, for By the way, it only uses APIs that we'll give to developers at one point or another. So nothing, didn't want to do anything that's custom hacked in-house. Mm-hmm. And the things that it enables us to do, I'll tell you some of the basic scenarios that are working now and some of the really futuristic stuff that we'll be working on. At the basics, I listen to a lot of music. I have a huge music collection. I love it when I'm at home and I add an album to my music collection at home. Next time I'm in the car, it's right there. I don't have to touch anything. It's playing locally. It doesn't have to stream, which is a night, even though the car is always connected 3G and Wi-Fi. Music is always there. My playlists are always up to date, no matter what device I walk onto, my office or home. Mm-hmm. If I got a podcast I want to watch or a book on tape equivalent, I want to listen to audiobooks in the car, mm-hmm. just I can add them from the Microsoft library. Right onto my PC in here. Next time I'm in the car, I can listen to it in the morning. It keeps track of sort of favorites, and if I hear a really great song that I want to add to the global favorites list, I could add that in the car. My favorites, for browsing, traffic websites, etc., all my IE favorites synced mm-hmm. out to the car. There's a browser in there. Basic things like, of course, videos and photos. You don't do a lot of photos, but working on an infrared.
You should be concentrating on the road.
We have an infrared camera that we're wiring up now into the car where as you drive, you can just hit a single button, it'll take a snapshot and share it with your buddies, which is kind of nifty. Without you having, really, it's a single click. And actually, we'll wire up to audio so you can just speak, take picture. So that's really sweet. Very interesting. So navigation experience in the car. Why is it better when it's connected? All my points of interest synchronized, so if I'm on my PC or on my phone, I know I'm going somewhere, I can add that to points of interest. Next time I'm in the car, it's a single tap because it's in navigation interest list. You don't have to type. Mm. Imagine the ability when your calendar, of course, is synchronized to the car. It knows where you're going, even if you're going out with friends. It knows locations. It can pick that as a point of interest. A very cool scenario now. We have GPS integrated, and so my car actually drops little GPS turds into the mesh as it's driving every few seconds. Huh. And people who I share that live folder with can just see those points. They may double-click on them, and they open in virtual Earth. Yeah. And you can see a 3D view of where the vehicle is. Imagine if I'm running late to a meeting.
Sure.
It knows what meeting I'm going to. And based on knows my GPS location, knows how far you are. We haven't wired the final part yet, but imagine I can have it automatically send an email, an SMS, to folks saying I'm 7 minutes away, 5 minutes away, 2 minutes mm-hmm. away. If you were, let's say, mom or dad going to pick up your kid from school and you're always running late, kid can look on his phone and see where mom is. And the beautiful thing is it using mesh. So synchronization you get for free, essentially, which has really been an incredible experience for me. It's the first time you were able to write software. All the software in my mesh mobile talks to the local live mesh client. Mm-hmm. It never makes any calls to the outside world. And what it enables me to do is write software. Well, I don't have to worry about network latencies and am I in range of a 3G spot if I'm going through a tunnel. Don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. I just talk to the local client. It does the right thing in the background, synchronizing data for me.
Nice.
It's really beautiful. So the GPS thing, sometimes GPS units are kind of flaky. They don't get a coordinate. Mm-hmm. You can't sync that back up to other. Nothing. Code is trivial. Get GPS location. Give it to the local client. The local client will do the right thing for me in the background. So synchronization, permissioning, I don't want to share my GPS location with everyone.
Sure.
Only with 5 people. And so very easy, I use the mesh sharing infrastructure to just say, just these 5 people can read my GPS location, that's it. Mm-hmm. Nice and safe. A lot of cool scenarios, if you think about awareness in the car, it's huge. Just knowing the context you're in, where you're going, you can even tell for example, depending on the number of phones in range, if there's other people in the car, you can change with playlists. We'll play by default very easily. Mm-hmm. But just the general sort of connected experience in the automotive is so much easier to write now than it has ever been. And it really kind of, the idea was to try to prove the point that the mesh, sort of this world of devices, is absolutely not just restricted to PCs, Macs, mobile phones, your natural devices, but lots of other kinds of things that can really benefit.
Absolutely.
So that's been really exciting. It's been, learn a lot about both on the hardware side, but also on software. All of a sudden, all these possibilities. Which one do we do next? Mm-hmm. Working on a module for onboard diagnostics, which all vehicles less than, 11 or 12 years old have mm-hmm. now. Just plug that right into the mesh mobile. I can have it automatically sort of generate and OBD2 diagnostic report. I don't have to look at it in the car. I can just, when I get home, it'll be there in a mesh folder. I open it up. I can look at stats. Car's a little old, so faults.
You could add your mechanic to your mesh.
Absolutely. It can actually, imagine you had a folder that you shared with your dealership that regularly just kept it up to date. And guess what? They don't have to worry about how to get that data to them, where it came from. They don't have to worry about my connectivity. I can only permission them, or if I work with two shops, they can put notes. I can look at service reports in there. Mm-hmm. Super, super handy.
So, and just to be clear, I mean, you didn't write the operating system using Live Mesh APIs. I mean, you have obviously a core OS on
yes,
this device, and Live Mesh is how you developed your API or your user experience.
Yeah, I think of the Live Mesh is almost the runtime, as we call it, the mesh operating environment we talked about that's running on the client that's providing, identity, peer-to-peer connectivity, security, sharing capabilities, nice offline, nice. APIs to help me put data in the structure I want to into the mesh.
Absolutely.
All those kinds of things. And with you can run the OS, you can run it on CE, you can run it, actually my car runs on Vista Ultimate now.
Nice.
Which, by the way, has been, I'm actually excited about some very cool new features coming in Windows 7 mm-hmm. that'll make it even better, that we can't quite talk about yet.
Sure.
But it runs the actual runtime client for developers it will be releasing.
Excellent. So developers are going to be able to get their hands on the stuff that you use to build this.
Yes, developers will have the client runtime. They'll be able to program against it. I really hope, we hope that a few of these style nifty projects will kind of spark the imagination of some very creative guys out there mm-hmm. who will go out and build similar stuff.
Sure.
I can't wait to see some of that.
Well, I could see people use, build sort of synchronization experiences like on their refrigerator or their appliances at home and build sort of these smart, add smartness to their appliances using this simple model.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you try to boil down all the complexity in the sort of the software plus services, blah, 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 it's really simple. Like, if you elevate it to the level of, it's just data, right? It's just a massive world of data pipes, which is, the next platform, like, think about it. It's all about data that you care about, mm-hmm. data at work, data at home, data with you. So the data lifecycle is pretty trivial. Something produces data. Lots of things produce data today. Your, Motorola Comcast cable box produces data. Your digital camera produces data. Your Outlook produces data. Things that produce data. Mm-hmm. And the other side of the world is things that consumes data, a place you want to render it. You take a picture on your camera, you want to render it on the digital picture frame of your, mom halfway across the planet. Mm-hmm. Right? You produce a point of interest on virtual Earth, you want to consume it in your car on your touchscreen display. And if you think of one of the really big value props of Live Mesh is really being that gorgeous data pipe that's moving data between people, devices, and application. And so data produced in one place, you wanted to make available to anything else. So you can really build rich experiences on each type of device that are natural and unique to that device. Mm-hmm. So the way I want to consume data on my media center at home, different than how I want to consume that same piece of data on my phone, different than how I want to consume that same piece of data on the digital picture frame,
sure,
in my home PC. And so really having infrastructure that could do a great job moving that data around between people, devices, and applications, bridging those what we call the digital islands, super powerful, simple,
absolutely,
but so powerful. So you can imagine, we're working on digital picture frame style mm-hmm. experiences, or almost, I don't want to call it like a dumb display, but really it's not really producing much. It's just consuming one-way types of data. Imagine other types of devices in the home. Like, I just bought this great receiver that has an Ethernet jack. And it actually has awareness of things around it. It can take data from different inputs. It can stream media. My TV now has an Ethernet jack. I mean, come on. So all that smartness mm-hmm. of devices in the home, devices at work, devices on the go, just making sure they can talk to each other, have awareness sort of things. State is everything.
One of the questions, I've been using Live Mesh since you guys released it. And in fact, it's now the way that I get my videos that I shoot on site, wherever I am on the world, onto my computer.
Get out of here.
In my office.
It
works great, right? I drag the video files to my folder on my desktop if I'm in Denmark, and they show up in Redmond. Right. So I love that part of it. It's excellent. And it restarts and syncs and does all the nice things. But there's a difference. So data is everywhere, but data also means different things to different devices, in the sense that your music files on your terabyte, memory server at home, you're not going to be able to get them
terabytes.
All. Sorry. You're not going to 6 terabytes, forgive me. Now, if you want to sync, so my question really is the granularity of saying,
yeah.
only sync this much on this device. So you have that power?
Absolutely. That means huge. And exactly recognizing the goal is to let each device sort of leverage its capabilities to their fullest, right? You don't want an experience that is sort of, minimalistic. The whole idea, if you paid for a great device, use everything that great device offers, and maybe even headless. And you picked the exactly right scenario. Some devices have massive amounts of storage. Some devices have no. Some even scenarios like where some devices have huge amount of CPU computational power. Like if you want to do real time rendering of something, streaming, blah blah blah. And some devices can't. Yeah. How do you really allow each device to do its best or to the best of its capabilities? In Live Mesh, for example, we have a concept called mapping. Mapping is the concept of taking when you claim when you double click on a live folder on your desktop and say, I want to synchronize it to this device, we essentially map what we call a mesh object in the sky, like this object that holds all this data, to that device and say, okay, this object to this device. And you can actually say there's things that you might not want to synchronize to the cloud, so you don't map the cloud. There's things you don't want to synchronize to this device, you decide what data goes where. And that's really, really important, right? Because you don't want, it's not completely heterogeneous.
Sure.
So mapping capabilities are really important. There's sort of a bunch of core elements to what we call that the mesh object, as you've heard us talk about them. They have membership, which is which people do I want to share this object, because you don't want to share all objects with all people.
Mm-hmm.
Your family photos versus your rap music versus your work documents, your financial stuff. Members. Second thing is mappings. What devices should this object go to? Mm-hmm. Don't need all my videos on my mobile phone. Right?
Yeah.
don't need my browser favorites on devices that have no display.
Sure.
It's going to be pretty hard to use them. Mm-hmm. Right. Members, mappings, think about we call news or activities, which is the ability to constantly stay up to date about that object. So you can share state like, hey, this person added this file, this person changed this photo, this person is now online, this device is now offline. You can actually see on my device ring, you can see the mesh mobile, and currently it's going to be offline because it's parked downstairs, the ignition's off. Mm-hmm. And you can see it on the device ring, it actually says it's offline. That's state. So things like that, so members, devices for mappings, news, activities, a lot of other cool stuff we'll show you.
Excellent. So what's building in the background there?
in the background, this is today's build. There's a bunch of fixes that went in this morning that I want to try out, and so currently building. We have this very interesting environment called the OneBox environment.
Okay.
The OneBox environment essentially allows us to run the entire cloud on a single machine. So we have these, 8 gigs of RAM, quad cores, so they have 8 essentially cores you can run on, 4 drives in them, that you can deploy our entire cloud infrastructure onto a single machine in my office. And the beauty of that is that if you want to debug something, you can actually set a break. It's very hard to set a breakpoint in the cloud.
Sure. Right?
Where do you put a breakpoint in a massive service that's running like some distributed across all these machines in different locations? So for development and testing purposes, if there was a fix I want to try out, I want to write some new code, build a tree, deploy it onto my OneBox environment, be able to debug it through, and when we're comfortable, check it into the tree and let other people use it. So we're building today's build.
Excellent, man. So you know, we should actually go look at this device that you've made.
Sure.
You have a prototype
We have a mini prototype right here. This is a prototype, an older version of the display we have in the car. It's a 7-inch transflexive display.
Uh-huh.
It's actually
sleeping right now.
It's sleeping right now. We're going to wake it up. I think I'm stepping on the mic. There we go. I'll start up. The UI shell that I'm used for this is from a company called Flux Media. They make this automotive shell called Centrifuge.
Nice.
Which is nice, which allows you to customize a lot of things, write plugins for it. Click on the agree button. It says, don't watch videos while you're driving.
Nice.
So we have a nice, simple interface, very easy to play music through.
Nice.
It allows you to browse your playlists, music, videos, navigation. It's got any integrated radio and phone capabilities, web browsing, email. Pictures, mixers, it brings local weather locally, onboard diagnostics. So they wrote this great shell that's fully customizable that I've been working on sort of plugging our own sort of meshness into. And the idea was really to see how much we could do without disturbing the experience, so to speak. How much can we do in the background magic of software on your behalf? And if you want, we can go down and take a look at it running in the car.
That would be great.
Let's do that.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Let's check it out.
Let's go downstairs. We're in the Meshmobile.
Indeed, man.
We should go out for a spin.
Yeah.
So we did, you know, all the hardware. The idea was to hide it away completely so it feels natural. You can't see anything. The Array microphone is the only thing that's really exposed.
Okay.
We essentially fabricated this console to embed the display in. It feels it's the same materials that the original version of the car is used.
Excellent.
So the touchscreen, very easy to use while you're driving. It's sunlight readable again. I love the Live Mesh logo in the middle. And again, the idea is so you don't actually have to even know that you're mesh connected all the time. And all the magic happens in the background. You can trivially go and navigate your music collection. You can play it from directly from you know, the quick controls at the bottom. Yeah. We have nav integrated with synchronizing points. We have phone and radio videos. Trivial to go. Actually, let's do this for a second. The device will tell you whether or not you're connected. Green for we have connectivity, red for not. This is where we'll plug in OBD2 diagnostics to send data back and forth. We got a nice weather module, Wi-Fi scanner. You can always switch to the shell. These are places where we'll built in custom new capabilities. GPS is automatically in the background now that we've been sitting here, is pumping that data into the mesh.
Nice.
It's obviously scanning for new data that shows up. I'll show you a little key. Like if we actually go to the Windows, to the desktop, you can actually see the live folders that have just shown up in Mesh today.
And the little guy.
And the little guy that's syncing. There's the controller knob that allows me to navigate even when you're driving without actually even looking at the screen. So if you're playing, for example, it's on that, I can actually scroll and navigate back and forth and select music to play. I can select when I'm sitting on 520 traffic, don't tell people, but I actually, you can look at just not
email.
Just a traffic map, like email, you can look at CNET news.
Totally.
What's going on in the day? You can have it read it back to you using the Vista audio synthesizers. And again, the idea is to really hide the meshness as much as possible, so it's just doing the right thing at the right time. I actually use this guy every, and that's my litmus test.
Nice.
If it's actually adding value to my life instead of just being one of those toys that's always broken and never works right,
mm-hmm.
we have lots of those too.
Sure.
You actually know you it's kind of doing the right thing.
Perfect.
Right? Like, which is.
So really what exactly, exciting. Where is the meshiness here? I mean, obviously you're syncing videos, music, playlists, a number of
navigation,
things.
So the meshiness we actually have, I wrote a little, almost like a mini car runtime that runs on top of the mesh runtime.
Okay.
And it's sitting there and doing automotive things. So it gets diagnostics and it gets GPS location. And it actually knows about, you know, it doesn't have to know explicitly about which way you're connected and things like that, but mm-hmm. it only moves data from the mesh, from the automotive sort of UX to the local runtime. Like I don't have a single line of code that makes a network call.
Nice.
Which is pretty nice. The next thing I really want to do, like we're adding more APIs as we'll announce at PDC mm-hmm. that allows you to get at other kinds of cool data, like that's in your Live and your mesh environment. And there's a bunch of applications I can't quite show you yet, but imagine the ability to more easily connect with people when you're in the car. There's really, how many people do you connect with when you're driving? It's really not that many. It's only like usually it's the same 3 or 4 or 5 people. How do you make it really trivial to see what they're doing, be able to send them a message, things like that?
Sure.
I mean, like generally when I drive home, if there's something that happens in the car, man, I wish I could blah. Well, you could go home on the weekend and wire in a plugin that does that blah.
Excellent.
Now you have a platform that really has the visual interface, all the connectivity stuff, and the runtime that you need to be able to write the kind of apps you want to write. It's kind
Perfect.
Of, you're completing that picture.
Now you're writing managed code, I'm assuming.
Most of the time, yeah. I love managed code. And you can program against the mesh using whatever you want, because it's just HTTP. We have beautiful classes for .NET, Silverlight, JavaScript. We have some guys working on PHP.
Okay.
Wanna go for a ride, buddy?
Let's do it, man.
Let's go for a ride.
Right on.